All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 12. Have Bibles if you need one. Praise you, Lord. Why don't you all get there and we'll read this together. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Probably can almost quote it. Anybody there? All right. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. I want you to just think for a moment. What does that mean to you? What does to fight the good fight of faith mean to you? My experience has been talking to people and through my own spiritual journey, it means a lot of different things to different people. For some reason, the fight of faith is just a hard, difficult, putting one foot in front of the other, painful the whole way. You know, people said, well, so-and-so is, he's just operating in faith, and they feel sorry for him. Poor guy, it's come to that. It shouldn't be that way, but that was our understanding at one time, and hopefully we're growing in it. I was looking at some of the commentaries, and I was telling Diane, one of the commentaries, the fight the good fight of faith was just that daily battle with sin. Well, somewhere we ought to settle that thing and not have to fight that same battle over and over again. And recognize that the battle over sin was already won for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shouldn't have to try to beat it every day. The good fight of faith, actually the words for fight, where we get our word agony, so it's a serious thing, but it's not supposed to be a just barely making it agonizing all the way, even though that's where we get the word. I think what Paul was trying to get across is it's serious because it is life and death, whether we operate in faith or not. Why is one person not completely off their feet by everything that comes along and another person just stands in the face of it and drives it off? It's not that God loves one person more than another. It's just some people have got a hold of it and they understand how it works. Actually, to fight the good fight, the same related words, it basically means to enter the contest, and the contest is a contest with a prize, and the prize is eternal life. Now, all the commentaries just about will tell you, he's not saying get born again. He's talking to people that are born again. He's talking to Timothy, who's born again, Paul's protege. He's talking about the end of our life, which is in heaven. That's a part of it, but he's also talking about how we live life here. He's talking about the God kind of life, not just exist. Amen? Trees exist, plants exist. We're supposed to have eternal life. We're supposed to walk in that. And, you know, it starts out, fight the good fight. Enter the contest. I think some people are being beat up by life and they're trying to say there's no contest. There's a contest. You're going to win or lose. You're going to make progress or you're going to fall back. There's no kind of hanging around trying to coast. Talked a lot about that over the years. You enter the contest, and the contest is a contest that's going to get you somewhere. It has a prize. I think that we all want to live in that God kind of life. Not that we just want to sit back and have everything easy. Even the God kind of life down here is not easy all the time. But being healthy is a lot better than being sick. Amen. Having your needs met is a lot better than not having your needs met. Amen. Having peace is a lot better than being depressed. Amen. It's just a better life. And not only that, is that good for us, but we're much more effective for the kingdom of God when we're operating in that life. Amen. Fight the good fight. The word good is interesting. It has the idea of good that can be seen. You know, when people are good at this good fight, you can see it. The one of the translations, the Weiss translation, be constantly engaged in the contest of faith which contest is marked by its beauty of technique. I like to watch like college and high school wrestling, not that other stuff that's called wrestling, but when they're actually, the outcome is not all no, I better not go down that road. When just two opponents are coming together, and I've different times, my brother was wrestling in high school, and this guy comes out and he's got muscles where I don't even have places, and there's no way that little guy is going to beat that guy. They're the same weight, but the one guy is really strong looking, but the guy with technique, the guy that knows what he's doing, will pretty soon put him on his back and pin him because he knows what he's doing. It's not so much what happens, what it looks like, what we look like on the outside. It's whether we know what we're doing or not, whether we understand how this whole faith message works. All right, the word faith. Can you quote Hebrews 11:1 with me? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I love the way that the Amplified Bible adds to it. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation. I love this phrase, the title deed. It means that faith means that we have a deed. The Word of God tells us this belongs to you. Healing belongs to me. Deliverance belongs to me and you. Peace belongs to us. Prosperity belongs to us. We may not always be living there, but it belongs to us. We have a deed. This is the evidence of things hoped for. Title deed of things hoped for. Being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. We may not be able to see it yet. Our senses may have not picked it up yet, but it belongs to us, and it's reality on the inside. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 19 and 20. It's not telling you not anything that you haven't heard before, but I'm going to be like Apostle Paul, Pastor Apostle Peter, not ashamed to remind you of things. Because we need it. Did I say Second Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 19 and 20? This is out of Good Speed translation. The Son of God, Paul said, Christ Jesus, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus, Timothy, and I, you have not found to be wavering between yes and no. Now, that's exactly how some people talk about God. It may be yes and maybe not. In fact, I've heard that old axiom, God always answers prayer, sometimes he says no. Well, is that scriptural, though? Now, when it comes to, God, you're asking God, should I go that way? Should I develop this relationship? Should I pull away? You can get no and those kind of things, but this is talking about the promises of God. When it talks about the promises of God, the answer is never no. No, I won't heal you. No, I won't prosper you. No, I won't give you peace. There's never a no in there. It's already been established. Yes. Not found wavering between yes and no. In him, it has always been yes. For all the promises of God, he supplies the yes that confirms them. Where's the yes for the answer for the promises? Jesus. See, it works for the little kids. It works for us, too. What's the answer? Jesus. That is why we utter the amen through him when we give glory to God. Amen means so be it. Jesus provides the answer. Yes, it's already yes. So we say, all right, so be it. Praise God. That's mine. All right, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith is getting to the point where we recognize what's already been done. Hebrews 4:11 is out of the Amplified Bible. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. They ended up, children of Israel, everyone older than 20 years old, wandered around the wilderness and died, even though the promise of God belonged to them, and it was God's intention to bring them from Egypt to the promised land. Most of them never made it, even though it was God's will. We bring that to today. Even though it's God's will for us to be healed, God's will for us to prosper, not everyone makes it because of unbelief. And the writer of Hebrews reminds them, you have to strive to get into that place of rest. The place of faith is a place of rest. It's not poor old me, I have to believe God. And I think that we've all been there in some realm along the way, haven't we? That time when you just know. And it maybe it didn't look like it, but you just know that bill's going to get paid. This is going to go away. Everything's okay. Not a problem. You're not all in, tense about it. You don't have to call every prayer person you can find to get them to pray. You just know it's taken care of. Now, God's will is that we get that way in every situation of life. And if you can remember what that was like and then use your imagination in that same realm, it'll help you move into that realm. But there is a striving to get there. The fight of faith probably is that as much as anything else. And on sometimes honesty of recognizing I'm not there yet when it comes to this, but I'm going to get there because I understand God's will is this, and Jesus already said yes, and so I'm going to get to that place where I really believe in that. If we're not experiencing, I think Diane was just saying this last week, if we're not experiencing it, we just don't believe it yet. But you don't want to get discouraged about that, because you're going to believe it if you keep moving, keep striving to get to that place where you can rest and say, it's done, it's taken care of, no problem. And it's not just about trying to make somebody else feel good. It's what you're feeling. It's what you're experiencing. It's what your emotions are doing. It's what you've decided about your life. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 29 and 30. In red letters, Jesus speaking, amplified version. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. That's the way we're supposed to live. That's what we need to use our spiritual imagination to come to that point. I'll tell you, I'm striving in some areas to get to that point. I recognize that there's some things, and then as soon as it goes that way, I get right back into struggle again, and I'm not just giving myself over to that peace and that rest that God's made available to me, but I'm going to get there. It's already mine on the inside. It's who I am, but that gatekeeper that I'm used to thinking a certain way, until I change that way of thinking, I'm going to keep following that same pattern. Remember the pattern that we've been talking about, the principles in the Word that we've been talking about, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. Put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new man. And that middle part is a lot of times where we're working. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You've got to not only have different thoughts, you've got to have a different thought pattern. We've got to learn to think differently, and we shall, praise God. We have the capacity to do that. We have the Word of God, which is a renewing factor. We have the Holy Spirit, which is a renewing factor as far as our lives are concerned. So I was thinking about, fight the good fight of faith and working through this. And I want to kind of use some of my testimony of where I am up to this point to try to illustrate to you the principles that I think are here. Obviously, I've got some things, I've got a ways to go in manifestation, but I've learned some things along the way, and I think the things that we've been learning over the last year or so are just so apropos for the situation that we can really come to the point of change in our lives. And when we change our lives, we can help the people around us change their lives too. This disease that we've had to deal with, hereditary sensory neuropathy, when I was about, as I remember back, about 5 years old, I had, they tested my generation. I'm six generations into this family that's passed it on. And they took a test tube of hot water, a test tube of cold water, put it on the bottom of our feet to see could we distinguish between. And at that point, I couldn't distinguish really well, but I didn't think much about it. But, you know, the numbness kept happening in my feet over the years. When I was in high school, a couple times I had sores that took a while to heal. What happens is you can't feel it, so you have a spot that's irritated, but you don't ease up on that. You walk right on it because you can't feel it, and then it gets worse, and that's what's happened over the years. In 1972, I was working concrete construction. We were pouring slabs for apartment buildings, and you have the block is just barely out of the ground, and you have to fill in the stone in between so that when you pour the concrete, it's just 3.5 inches to 4 inches of concrete all along. The owner didn't like having 6 inches of concrete and having to pay for all that, so we had to level out all these stone, and one of the ways that we did it is to pound a cut nail into the top of the block on each side and hang a string across so you have something to work from. So we had done that, and we were working that. I walked over to get something, came back, and when I stepped up on the block again, I stepped right on that nail, on the top of the nail, and it went up into my shoe. I thought it only went up into my shoe, but it went up into my foot too. I found out when I got home, I didn't feel it, but it punctured my foot, and it seemed to heal up. I saw the doctor. I think I had to have a tetanus shot. It seemed to heal up, but it didn't heal up on the inside. It broke out, and that sore was open from 1972 to 1993. And at times, it got infected up into the bone. I think it's called osteomyelitis or something like that. And the bones deteriorated and fell and worked their way out the sore, and was infected from the bottom of the foot all the way to the top of the foot. It was a mess. And all the metatarsal bones in my foot just deteriorated and worked their way out. And so my left foot is shorter than my right foot. It's all set up to kick field goals. But I'm right-footed, not left-footed, so it wouldn't work very well. But, you know, going through all that, and I went to the wound care center, and they helped me get that sore healed up finally, praise God, in 1993. In the meantime, you know, I was not, after a while, you're not only losing feeling, you're losing motor, which means the nerves are not telling your extremities what they're supposed to do. And so, you know, use it or lose it. It's when it's not being told what to do, then there's atrophy, and the muscles dissipate, and pretty soon you couldn't move the toes, and then couldn't move the foot, and couldn't move the ankle, and then, you know, it's working its way up the extremities. So this is happening over the years, and I bring that up. Not, I don't, please don't feel sorry for me. I'm in good shape, praise God. It's not about that. It's about what that produces is a way of thinking. That produces heart beliefs. That produces poor old me. That produces, well, you're just going to keep getting worse. You're about this time where we began to hit the understanding of what faith is, and Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, and so on. But in the midst of all that, you know, that what's really the gatekeeper is saying, yeah, but Do you understand how that, see? And it can be a long progression like that in your life, or it can be just something bad that happened. Somebody, you know, lost a loved one. You lost a job. Lots of things can happen, and that helps you develop the wrong way of thinking. And if that's not changed, your expectation is still going to be in that direction. When people hit these kind of impasses, they do different things. Some people just give up. I've heard people say, the message is flawed. There's something wrong with the message. It doesn't work. And, you know, the message needed to be adjusted. Is that a good way to put it? Tweaked. But faith in God still works. Still works. Some people just decide, you know, maybe the message is good, it's still not going to work for me. And then some people change their heart beliefs and get a hold of what's already belonged to them, what's always belonged to them. You're awful quiet this morning. And I think a lot of the good fight of faith is that. It's changing the heart belief. It's striving to get to that place of rest, of peace. And then when you're there, it's like, well, so what if it hasn't manifest yet? It will. Because it's all based upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what's already been done for us. And getting a hold of that is so vitally important. I mentioned to you, you know, Proverbs 23:7, in the Amplified, it says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As one who reckons, he says to you, eat and drink, yet his heart is not with you, but is grudging the cost. There's the problem. Saying something on the outside, but that's not where his heart was. In this case, in Proverbs, he's saying, oh yeah, when, you know, whatever you want, I'm just here for you. But on the inside, he's thinking, boy, what are they, why do I have to do this for them? A lot of times you can pick that up, but the problem is his heart is doing one thing and his mouth is saying something else. And you can see in that a lot of times what we've done in confession hasn't worked because our heart is doing one thing even though our mouth is doing something else. Amen? You read 1 Peter 2:24, which ends up, by his stripes you were healed. You were healed. And agree with it mentally, which I've done. Well, certainly that's true. But you don't get any benefit out of it because your heart believer is, yeah, but I'm filling the blank. Yeah, but it doesn't work for me. Yeah, but I'll just never get there. Yeah, but. Before we got into the faith message, if I can put it that way, our church teaching was that we believed in healing. We believe that God heals, but we didn't believe that he always heals. We didn't believe that it was God's will in every situation to heal everybody. And so we were prayed for, and then you check it out. See if anything happened. If it didn't happen, it must not have been God's will for you. And if that's where you find yourself, then you've got to live with this. God just wants you sick for some reason. And so, you know, here you are. Heaven's coming someday. You'll be healed then, but here it's not for you. It wasn't that we looked, you know, certain scripture. It's that was our experience. It's the way things went. But then my dad was over-the-road trucker at the time. He stopped at a truck stop. There was a section on Christian books and tapes, and he found a tape by somebody called Kenneth Copeland, who we'd never heard of before. And listened to the tape, cassette tape. And then when he had listened to it a bunch of times, he gave it to me. He said, listen to this. And I, for my dad, because I love my dad, I said, I'll listen to this. And I remember we had a player by the bed, put it on. And I thought, well, I'll just put this on and fall asleep. And I can tell my dad, I listened to this tape. Not that any of you would ever do anything like that. But that was what I was going to do. But the thing is, we didn't fall asleep. He was talking about the power of the tongue. And and it got our attention. And I listened to it, and I listened to it again, and I listened to it again, and then I tried to find out who this Kenneth Copeland was. And my dad and I went to one of his meetings out in Pittsburgh, and I said, well, you know, this is right. There's something right about this. But that wasn't what they were teaching in our church. And I had a lot of questions, and I didn't have anybody to answer, and that's when we heard, get thee to Rhema. We spent a year out there, got a chance to hear Fred Price, Brother Hagin, all these other men and women of God, to establish. And what happened was in that, it established and changed our way of thinking. And striving to change our way of thinking that it is always God's will for us to be healed. Brother Hagin always said that was the number one thing that he found in all his ministry that hindered people from getting healed. They were not convinced that it was God's will to heal them. Well, we got, you know, that's taken care of. That nobody can convince me anymore anything other than it's always God's will for everybody to be healed. You got to develop that, or you know, there's nowhere to go until you get over that hump and take care of that. Because what always happens is, if it's not always God's will for everybody, you'll be one of those, you'll think you're one of those that isn't going to get it. After that time, I've made some progress. I mean, my great uncles they had their legs amputated. And there were times when we were making progress even. And just say there were times when I had more feeling and more motor ability. And, you know, it's been a back and forth striving over the years. And one of the things that I had, because I fell into depression, because, you know, you can see how that can happen. Not just because of what I've gone through, but whatever you might be going through in your life. You keep facing that wall, and you're not making it past, and you're doing what you think you know to do, and still falling back. So one of the things that I had to learn in the midst of that is get back to, I didn't have a devotional life. I always studied to teach, because this, I enjoyed doing this, but I didn't have a devotional life of my own. I wasn't reading just for me. I wasn't studying just for me. I wasn't confessing just for me. And when I recognized that I was depressed, I thought, I better do something. And that was the start of coming back out, recognizing that you are, being honest with yourself, and then start saying what the Word says instead of saying what I was feeling all the time. Persuade your heart. Come to a believing heart. In the book that we've been reading, it says this, the mind has been renewed. The mind has been renewed to an accurate or precise knowledge of what Jesus has accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. When our heart has been fully persuaded of the facts, confession, that is, saying or acknowledging the truth, will become a harmonious, natural expression of truth. A lot of what we did in the beginning is just trying to talk ourselves into something, which is not wrong, but it doesn't bring it to pass until there's a believing in the heart. You've got to actuate your own heart. Go to Matthew chapter 18. I apologize if this is a little tedious, but I want you to think through this, because every one of us are facing some challenges, and we want to get to the other side. Matthew 18:18, Amplified Version says this, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and lawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. That's different than it reads sometimes. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. You look and you see what's been bound in heaven. Well, then I'm going to bind that as far as I'm concerned. What's been loosed in heaven? Well, I'm going to loose that as far as I'm concerned. Another translation says, surely I say to you, whatever you forbid on earth shall have already been forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth shall have already been permitted in heaven. So it's, we look up there and we find out what's been taken care of already, and then we begin to take care of it as far as we're concerned down here. So let me read another thing out of the book here. Binding and loosing is when we declare something to be lawful or unlawful in our life or our world based on what has previously been accomplished in heaven, what's previously been accomplished. On this side of the cross, we have to make that determination based on the death, burial, and resurrection. Doing it in faith is when there's harmony between that which has been accomplished in heaven and what is in our heart and what is in our mouth. Let me read that last sentence again. This is the good fight of faith. Doing it in faith is when there's harmony between what has been accomplished in heaven, what is in our heart, and what is in our mouth. So the battle for me particularly, and probably for a lot of you, is the striving is to see it as done, because it's done in Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. I believe, I have no problem. I am at rest with, it's God's will for me to be healed. It's God's will for me to prosper. It's God's will for all my needs to be met. God's will, the high price that was paid. Yeah, no doubt. If you're not there yet, you need to establish that. And then get to the place. So not only is it his will, it's already done. Jesus' prayer was, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's already done. See, and the truth is, when I'm trying to get healed, well, then I'm not. When I'm trying to get my needs met, then they're not met. When I can recognize they are, and not just say that because I've agreed in my head, but down in my heart, I know, well, this is already done. Jesus took the hereditary sensory neuropathy on the cross with him. He got beaten so that you know, our family wouldn't have to have that. He took the flu. He took the poverty. The chastisement that brought us peace was on him, Isaiah said. Amen? When I can get a hold of that. And so how am I going to get a hold of that? Meditate. Now, you know, we say, well, you know, meditate. That sounds foreign. It just doesn't sound right. Well, you do it all the time. Yes, you do. All the time. You just got to push it in the right direction. Get it going the right way. Think about the right things. Paul said to the Philippian church, think on these things. And he said to the Corinthian church, don't think on those things. So if God's told us to do that, and apparently we can. So, and if you meditate, if I can see myself, and I'm seeing myself, not here. Amen? Seeing myself without the pain, seeing myself, you know, those ways. Now, already done, not trying to get there, not trying to get something that I don't have. Not trying to change the real me. The real me is already healed, praise God. Just getting a hold of that principle, those principles. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Enter the contest. It's worth it. Praise God. Let's worship him.